Good morning and welcome to Parking Lot Worship this fourth Sunday of Easter. As you can see, we are adapting and changing as we continue this style of worship. This is probably the highest pulpit I've ever preached from, so this is new for me, and hopefully you all, most of you it looks like, can see me a little better than last time, so hope that will work well. I would remind you, on your way out, if you brought bags of non-perishable food to give to our food pantry to help restock, those will be collected on the way out at both of these exits on the side. I will also be standing there to give the dismissal and to greet you all from a distance on the way out. Join me as we begin our worship, giving thanks for the gift of baptism. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are raised with him to new life. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning you created us in your image and planted us in a well-watered garden. In the desert, you promised pools of water for the parched, and you gave us water from the rock. When we did not know the way, you sent the Good Shepherd to lead us to still waters. At the cross, you watered us from Jesus' wounded side, and on this day, you shower us again with the water of life. We praise you for your salvation through water, for the water in our font, and for all water everywhere. Bathe us in your forgiveness, grace, and love. Satisfy the thirsty, and give us the life only you can give. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our shepherd, you know your sheep by name and lead us to safety through the valleys of death. Guide us by your voice that we may walk in certainty and security to the joyous feast prepared in your house through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. A reading from Acts. The baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from 1 Peter. It is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The Gospel of the Lord. I invite all our children and all our children at heart to join me for a moment in thinking about doors and gates. I imagine many of you have gates at home. Maybe it's a baby gate. Maybe it's part of a fence in your yard. And I know you all have doors at home. You all have doors in your car as well. Today, Jesus says he is a gate, a door. Now, a gate or door does several things. Gates and doors keep us safe. They keep ourselves in, and they can keep others who might hurt us out. Doors and gates also let us leave. We can go in, stay safe. We can go out. Jesus is our gate, our door. He allows us to come into God's love. He protects us. And he lets us go out to share God's love with others. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for being our gate, for letting us into your love, for keeping us safe, and for sending us out to share your love with others. Amen. Today, the fourth Sunday of Easter each year is designated Good Shepherd Sunday. Your forebears in the faith in this place loved this image so much, they named this congregation for it. Indeed, Jesus as Good Shepherd is one of the most beloved and comforting images in the Scriptures. The image of the Lord as Shepherd is one that has captivated the hearts and the minds of God's people over the generations, at least as far back as the psalmist who writes those famous words, "The Lord is my shepherd." One of the oldest pieces of Christian art we know of today, in fact, is an image of Jesus carrying a lamb across his shoulders. This image is on the ceiling of the San Callisto catacombs in Rome. And it dates back to the mid-200s AD, a mere 200 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. That early on in the church's history, people were decorating their sacred spaces with images of Jesus as shepherd. It's an image that still resonates with us today. Now, I must confess, this is not how I pictured spending my first Good Shepherd Sunday with Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. And so perhaps it's appropriate that the part of this passage from John that we focus on today is a little different. We won't actually hear Jesus say, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep." That comes in John 10, 11, and we leave off at John 10, 10 today. No, today we hear Jesus say, "I am the gate for the sheep." Well, that's not the image we all know and love, is it? We don't call this Gate Sunday. We don't put up stained glass images of Jesus as gate. And so while Jesus as our gate is not, I would guess, on our list of most beloved images, that's what he tells us today. "I am the gate for the sheep." Now, over the years, people have tried to reconcile this image of Jesus as gate with the image of Jesus as shepherd. Some have pointed out that when a shepherd would construct an enclosure for the sheep in ancient times, the shepherd would use rocks or branches to pile up a low wall. And then the shepherd would leave a gap in the wall, say 5 or 6 feet wide. And the shepherd himself or herself would lay down across the opening in the wall and act as a human gate to complete the enclosure and keep the sheep safe. This is a neat image, especially as Jesus will say just a few verses later, "I will lay down my life for the sheep." As nice as it sounds, whether or not ancient shepherds did this, I don't know. And however we think about these metaphors Jesus is using, we may end up a bit confused. And that's not exactly unexpected. As we read in verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Indeed, Jesus uses multiple figures of speech with the crowd here, trying to get home his main point, and that is the idea of security, of safety, of abundant life. In fact, that's the very idea Jesus ends this passage with today. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus wants abundant life for us, and Jesus goes about providing that life for us. Over and over again in the gospel, Jesus provided for needs, even needs people didn't yet know they had. All of Jesus' signs that he does in the Gospel of John point to the reality that Jesus is at work bringing about abundant life to all who hear and follow him. Think with me, for example, of the wedding at Cana. Jesus changed water to wine and made the wedding party and feast go on. In fact, we're told the chief steward thought that the host had been holding out. He came privately to the host and said, "Everyone puts out the good wine first. Then when people are drunk, they put out the cheap wine. But you've saved the best for now." Not only did Jesus enliven that party, he saved that wedding party from the shame and embarrassment of running out of wine. Think with me about the woman at the well, whom Jesus offered an everlasting drink of living water. He offered her abundant life, life beyond the little well and the little town that she had known all her days. Think with me about the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus offered everyone there an abundance of food and then promised to give his body and blood for the people as well. Just before this passage about the gate and the shepherd, Jesus healed a man born blind. And he offered not only sight, but he restored and renewed the man to his community. He offered new and abundant life. For the wedding party at Cana, for the woman at the well, for the crowds by the lake with the full stomachs, for the man who was blind, Jesus offered a new kind of living, a new kind of life, a new experience of all the good things God intends. Jesus says in this passage, that is why he came and that is what he wants to bring for us as well. And the kind of abundance Jesus brings is not a kind we're all too familiar with, not the kind of abundance we may already suffer from. And I use the word suffer intentionally because we do suffer often in this country, in our lives, in our choices, in our circumstances, from an overabundance of things. Some of us throw away more food each day than others get to eat in a week. Some of us drive vehicles that cost more than people will make in a lifetime of hard labor. Some of us live in houses that have space for other people, but we fill those spaces with what? Clutter. Stuff, our junk. We can go on and on here, but suffice it to say, we suffer from overabundance. Perhaps that is one place Jesus would offer us new and abundant life. Maybe for us, in part, that looks like learning to share more, to give more, more of what we have, and in giving away what we think of as our abundance, we might truly discover the abundant love and generosity in life Jesus offers, not just to us, but to our neighbors. I know of many people who are using this pandemic time as a tool to help them do just this. Instead of focusing on getting more for themselves, they're focusing on helping neighbors get what they need. Instead of being driven to get more at any cost, they're instead slowing down and enjoying the profound blessings of family, of shelter, of time, of nature. Many of you have shared with me that this has been a time for you to take stock, to appreciate things that have gone unnoticed. Some of you have commented this has been a chance to finally sign up for online giving or to recommit to your practice of mailing offerings to the church. Some of you have shared with me that you want to start coming to Bible study once this pandemic ends. We all long to be gathered in the same space again, and we all hunger for the sacrament of the altar, which we have missed sharing together. And I've noticed also that a lot of the small concerns, the little problems that we often make big, those things that can blossom into conflict and kill our sense of community and our momentum in ministry, those things seem to be falling away at this time. We're being invited into God's abundance in new ways. And despite how much this time has changed our lives and our life together, it also allows us to take hold of God's true and abundant life more fully, more firmly. This may be a time when the abundance Jesus offers is able to break through the clutter of our overabundance. Not that God causes pandemics by any means, but God is indeed an expert at working good out of ill, salvation out of suffering, life out of death. This is one possibility of what abundant life might begin to look like in our lives. What other areas can you imagine God's abundance taking hold? What about in our congregation and community? Jesus says he wants to bring abundant life. Jesus wants to bring that life here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and here in Forest Acres. I came, he says, that they may have life and have it abundantly. What might that look like in our community, in our church? I invite you to pause for a moment and think how Jesus might be in the business of bringing about abundant life to our church and our neighborhood. Maybe you can keep pondering that as you drive home. It can be hard to imagine. It can be hard to imagine new abundance at a time when we cannot gather as we're used to gathering. But here we are, some of us, gathered in a new way at a different time to worship together, to lift one another up. When our old ways of being and doing church have fallen flat for a time, God has made a way where there was no way. God has provided this time for us as he provided water in the desert to the Israelites, as he provided new wine to the wedding at Cana, as he provided living water to the woman at the well, as he provided bread from heaven to the crowds in the wilderness, as he provided sight to the man born blind. So Jesus is providing for us here and now in new and abundant ways. I latch on to a phrase Jesus uses late in this passage, "Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." The coming in and going out is part of what it means to be a sheep of the Good Shepherd. Jesus promises safety and life and provision for those who come in and for those who go out. We are those who have come in. We've come into this community, and here we have found life in Christ together. But we also see the mandate here that we go out. We don't just stay in the sheepfold, but we go out taking the love and care of our shepherd with us. Taking the security of the gate, yes, but also taking the abundant life and love that our shepherd gives, that we might let others see and hear and know our gate, our shepherd. Abundant life, we may find, consists not just in coming in and being here, but also in going out to the world. So I invite you to go forth today in a few minutes, secure in Christ's keeping and equipped and sent to share life and love with your neighbors. As you have received abundantly, share abundantly, that all may share this life God gives. Live and love this week, that all may know the true Good Shepherd as they experience his compassion and care through Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and its members. Amen. Together, let us confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Shepherding God, we thank you for the educational ministries of your church. Enrich the work of teachers, professors, mentors, advisors, and faculty at colleges, seminaries, and learning sites. Lord, in your mercy. Creating God, we praise you for those who maintain and operate farm equipment, for those who plant and harvest crops, for local farmers' markets, and for those involved in agriculture of any kind. Strengthen their hands as they feed the world. Lord, in your mercy. Guiding God, no one should be in want. Bid the nations to return to your paths of righteousness and inspire our leaders to walk in your ways so that all may have the opportunity to live abundantly and sustainably. Lord, in your mercy. Comforting God, you carry us tenderly. We pray for those who walk through dark valleys, overshadowed by anxiety and overwhelmed with suffering. We lift up this day those on our prayer list and those whose names we lift to you on our lips and in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Nurturing God, you desire justice for the hungry. Bless advocacy work, food pantries, and feeding ministries in our congregations. May none of our neighbors lack for basic needs. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting God, your beloved have heard your voice. You have called them by name and guided them to your side in death. We thank you for their lives of faithful witness. Lord, in your mercy. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ our Lord. Join me as we continue in prayer, giving thanks to God for the word. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts. Freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us, renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Christ is risen, just as he said. Peace, share the good news. Alleluia.